Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Saturday to everyone. It's about what? It's a beautiful 54 degrees Fahrenheit here in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's about 12 degrees centigrade for you centigrade people out there. I want to welcome everyone from here, the United States, as well as Canada and Australia and the UK and South America. There's a lot of people on the call today. And hey, happy you're here. This is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out today to just tune into this broadcast. Your time is valuable, and I am truly, truly grateful. Along with, you know, me speaking and being alive and just being able to see all the people I love, you know, especially ones that are sitting right in front of me, I am grateful not only for your participation, but to be able to share this time with you. So over the next 28 minutes and 56 seconds, I want to add to your wellness experience. Before I do that, wiserliving.com, W-E-I-S-E-R.com, living, wiserliving.com. Please go to that website, wiserliving.com, and sign up for our newsletter. You know, in the upper right-hand corner of that page, you'll see Wiser Living. There's websites, Wiser Living TV. It'll take you to the YouTube page where you can subscribe. So you not only get access to, you know, current educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe to Wiser Living and get your free ebook as well. So wiserliving.com, subscribe. Wiser Living TV, subscribe. Wiser Living Radio, subscribe, and also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Wiser Living. Okay, in our last session, we talked about sugars and their derivatives and how it plays a key role in the immune system with fertilization, preventing the origin and development of acute, chronic, or recurrent disease. Here, my throat's a little dry, so I'm going to drink some water. Recurrent diseases, and we talked about how certain sugars play a key role in the clotting of blood and the development of connective tissues, organs, and organ systems. We shared how sugars like galactose and fructose and the N-acetyls, N-acetylglucosamine, N-acetylglactosamine, and N-acetylneuraminic acid have important roles in determining your blood type, and then we talked a bit about the hidden sugars in processed foods that are not so good for you. They are termed the bad guys or imitators or the bad girls that mess up everything and cause dysfunction in your body. And I think it's important to reiterate that refined sugar is a big problem, especially when it comes to blood sugar balance, because it spikes blood sugar. And when your blood sugar spikes like that, it increases inflammation within the body. It increases your cravings and all this stuff can lead to obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. Now, I want to correct the statement I made in our last session concerning agave. I placed agave in the good category. You know, it's when actually it's one of those sugars you should be wary of. You know, it should be in the kind of like the bad category. So forgive me for making that little a mistake there, so I'm correcting it right now. Agave is not on the good side. It's one of the bad guys. And agave comes from the cactus plant, which is a good thing that it comes from that plant. And it's approximately 90% fructose, and it has a low glycemic index. But using too much can lead to excess production of unhealthy cholesterol. You know, a lot of people like agave because it's gluten free and it's suitable for vegan diets. But the fructose in agave in a liquid form is bad. The sugar found naturally in fruit is okay when you get it from whole foods like an organic apple, for instance, because it comes with a host of vitamins and fibers and antioxidants. But when it's commercially extracted from the fruit and concentrated and made into a sweetener, it causes problems inside the body. Now, research shows that it is the fructose part of sweeteners like agave that make the most, they don't make the most, but they're the most dangerous because fructose causes insulin resistance and raises triglycerides, which is a risk factor for heart disease. So you're gonna hear that throughout the show today about fructose, because it's one of the culprits that secretly gets inside your system and just messes everything up. You know, in the agave plant, most of the sweetness comes from a particular kind of fructose called inulin, which actually has some health benefits because inulin is considered a fiber. But there isn't much inulin left in the actual syrup. And because in the manufacturing process of it, enzymes are added to the inulin to break it down into fructose, which is a digestible sugar. But the fructose content is between 57 to 90%. That way, that's way too high for the body to actually handle. So agave syrup is almost all fructose. And remember, pure fructose without fiber interferes with healthy metabolism when it's consumed in these higher doses. It's dangerous not because it can show up as a it can show up as acne on the skin or diabetes internally, but because you can have symptoms of diabetes with normal blood sugar when you consume an agave. So beware of agave. Beware of agave. One more time, say it with me. Beware of agave. So let's talk about some good sugars here, because, you know, the last program I kind of beat everybody up, including myself, about these bad sugars, and it's really important here. You know, honey. Let's talk about honey. Honey is, you know, the word that you probably use when you talk to your significant other. You know, you address them as honey this and honey that, and you know, honey is probably the best known natural sugar substitute. It dates back a few thousand years, and I say a few thousand because I've read where it dates back 2,500 years, and I've read where it dates back 5,000 years. Well, it dates back a long ways, and it's been used by countless cultures around the world. Honey contains small amounts of maltose and sucrose, and it has a lower glycemic index than table sugar. And honey is also about 35% glucose, and even better. And even better is that honey's sugars are connected to vitamin B2, B6, iron, and manganese. And though honey has more calories than sugar, when it's consumed with, say, like warm water, it helps to digest fat that's stored in your body. Also, when honey and lemon juice or honey and cinnamon are mixed together, it can help to reduce your weight. I know, some of you may be asking, isn't honey a type of sugar? And doesn't it contribute to weight gain? And won't the calories in honey negate weight loss efforts? Well, honey does contain sugar. But unlike refined sugar, honey contains those beneficial vitamins that I already mentioned, like B2, B6, iron, manganese, while table sugar is considered a source of empty calories. I mean, most of you have heard that, which means that there's really no benefit to consuming table sugar. You see, normally, to digest sugar, vitamins and minerals already stored in your body are utilized, which uses up many of these essential nutrients. This is when you digest, just say, like table sugar. So it's got to pull the nutrients from somewhere that in your body already stored. So remember, these nutrients are essential to dissolve fats and cholesterol. So ingesting pure sugar is kind of wasteful, other than the taste. So when you eat too much sugar, you tend to gain weight, not only because of the calories, but from the subsequent lack of vitamins and minerals. Honey, on the other hand, balances this effect because it's a good source of nutrients that can help people in their efforts to lose weight. Honey contains nutrients such as protein and water and energy and fiber and sugars, plus the vitamins and minerals. It has some zinc, it has some phosphorus, it has some sodium and potassium, and it even has some calcium. It's also a good source of folate and niacin and riboflavin, which I've already mentioned, and vitamin C and B6, which I've already mentioned. For people who are overweight or obese, honey not only reduces the risk of cardiovascular disorders, it does not increase the body weight. Honey can be used as a source of energy to improve athletic performance. It's a great way to maintain blood sugar levels. It aids in muscle recuperation and glycogen restoration after a workout, as well as regulating the amount of insulin that's in your body. Honey has antibacterial and antifungal properties. It contains antioxidants that are, you know, very effective at removing or even neutralizing free radicals from the body. So make sure when you're buying honey that it is 100% certified organic raw honey. Not just part of this, it's got to be 100% certified organic raw honey. And it should be unpasteurized in a fresh, raw state and unrefined. Otherwise, you need to leave it on the shelf. So let's move to maple syrup. Maple syrup is at a minimum 65% sucrose, 4 to 7% glucose, and 1 to 7% fructose. So it's low in fructose, but it has a significant amount of sucrose in it, which means it has a low glycemic index when you compare to table sugar or sucrose. And it, in spite of the fact that maple syrup contains a lot of sucrose, there's been some research out there that shows that it can still be quite safe or even beneficial for those with type 2 diabetes. This is due to the natural phenols that are also found in this syrup. Phenols have an antioxidant, they have antioxidant properties, and maple syrup also has trace minerals like zinc and manganese, which are substances that significantly contribute to your immune system. Now, let's talk a little bit about stevia, because I look at the good sugars, and there's not a whole lot to say other than what I'm going to say after I talk about all these good sugars. So just hang with me here. Stevia is next up in the batter's box. Stevia is 300 times sweeter than sugar. It has no calories, and it's natural since it comes from the stevia plant. Now, the sweet components of stevia are not sugars. There are compounds called steviosides and ribosides that basically look at the taste buds. They roll across the taste buds on the tongue and interpret it as sweet. Now, stevia has no calories, and which means the glycemic index is going to be zero, which makes it a good choice for diabetics again. But when buying stevia, make sure it lists in the ingredient label whole leaf stevia. It has to say whole leaf stevia instead of ribosides or stevia extract, you can just make your own stevia extract, because when you look at stevia and you start looking at the ingredient, most of them you shouldn't buy. I know there's one called Truvia. You should leave that on the shelf. So if you got Truvia, I get Truvia in your cabinet, you might want to change. So because you need the stevia leaves, so you can actually make your own liquid. But if you have some stevia leaves and organic vodka, so you can grow the plant or you know, just get some leaves. And here's the directions for this. I'm going to do this really quickly. Number one, you know, dry the stevia leaves by putting them in the sun for 12 hours or in a dehydrator if you have one. Number two, place the dried leaves in a glass jar and pour enough organic vodka to cover the leaves. Step three, steep the leaves in the vodka for exactly 24 hours. Then next step is to filter out the leaves using a strainer. Step five, to remove the alcohol, heat the extract on low heat for 20 minutes. Do not let it boil or you just destroyed everything. And then step six is to transfer the liquid in a glass dropper bottle and store it in your refrigerator up to 90 days. So that's obviously, I kind of went fast on that. You can just re-listen to this program, and you can get that again, or just email us. Now, if you're not up to making your own stevia, you know, make sure that the stevia extract that you buy is 100% pure. Without there's anything after the word stevia or pure or leaf, then leave it there. Don't buy it. Next. Coconut palm sugar. Wow, there's so much information on coconut palm sugar, and I am not going to go through all of it because it's kind of exhausting, and it really depresses you. Because if you take a coconut tree, I'm just going to say this, you take the coconut tree, and then it makes coconut. Well, to get the coconut palm sugar, you got to destroy the tree. Yeah, for sugar. Anyway, coconut palm sugar. Coconut palm sugar offers vitamins and minerals like potassium and vitamin C and zinc and iron and copper, phosphorus and magnesium. No wonder the coconut meat and the coconut water is so beneficial for you. Coconut sugar also provides small amounts of phytonutrients, such as polyphenol, flavonoids, anthocyanidins, and antioxidants. I mean, you'll also find the B vitamins, or you'll find a B vitamin, inositol, in it. Coconut palm sugar is about 45% fructose, which makes it a better option than some of the other sweeteners out there on the market. But let us all take note that when it comes to sugar, and I just gave you some good ones, when it comes to sugar in all of its forms and all of the different names that it can be, you know, labeled, virtually all forms of sugar will take a toll on your health in the long run. In the long run, virtually all forms of sugar will take a toll on your life, on your health in the long run. So what am I saying here? Moderation is the key. Once again, moderation is the key. And when I'm saying moderation, I want you to lean closer to no sugar versus moderation, leaning toward just a little more. Because just a little more can cause a whole host of problems, which I'll mention later. You know, fructose, you know, here, you're hearing that word again, fructose. Fructose actually turns to fat very quickly. So another key is burning sugar as a fuel, which means exercise. So if you're going to consume some sugar, you want to do it before a heavy exercise, unless you want to lose some inches, like you want to lose some fat, and you want to burn that sugar up as quickly as possible, so your body will start burning fat, and it would rather burn fat, but if the sugar is available, obviously it's going to be just as lazy as you could be by just consuming the sugar to get the quick high. So beware of that. Okay. Let me wind down a bit and talk a little bit about fructose. You know, it seems to be getting a lot of attention these days. And before I do that, I'd like to briefly address xylitol and erythritol and all these sugar alcohols. You know, they have their benefits, but I'm not totally convinced that there are no long-term side effects from its use, because the studies aren't, like, really completed yet. You know, my main issue is where does it come from? You know, xylitol can be derived from the xylan of birch trees, which is good, which is excellent. But xylan is also found in corn cobs. And it's much cheaper to use corn instead of birch bark to get the xylitol. So where do you think your xylitol is going to be coming from? Corn cobs. And it's going to be GMO. That's even worse. So that's a whole other subject. I mean, I could talk another 30 minutes just on that alone. So, you know, getting your xylitol from corn cobs, it's like getting a dose of GMO every time you consume something with xylitol in it. I mean, that's the problem with high fructose corn syrup, isn't it? Which is used in sodas and sports drinks. It's the GMO. That's a bigger problem now. So be a bit careful with xylitol and these sugar alcohols, erythritol and all of these, because they can also lead to digestive issues like bloating and diarrhea. Also, sugar alcohols are still a form of a carbohydrate and can raise blood sugar. So, depending on the food item, this means the higher sugar alcohol content needed may cancel the benefits when compared with the same item sweetened conventionally. Finally, fructose. Let's talk a little bit about fructose. You know, fructose is a sugar found normally in fruit. It's perfectly fine to consume fructose when you get it from whole foods like apples, organic apples, which is about 7% fructose. And even then, you shouldn't eat 10 apples or 5 apples. You should use it as a sweetener. Say if you're blending, you're putting a bunch of vegetables in there, and so, you know, like carrots and kale, spinach, and all of these different greens and celery. And you can put an apple in there, not 10, one, slightly sweetened. So it's perfectly fine to consume it like that. But when it's eaten, when it's eaten this way with the fiber in it, it comes with what? It's going to come with a host of vitamins. That's why it breaks down slower. It's going to come with antioxidants, and most important, it's going to have the fiber. But when it's commercially extracted from the fruit, it's concentrated, right? And it makes its way into the system, but it's going to be coming in at a high price. You know, the research out there shows it's the fructose part of sweeteners that's the most dangerous. You know, fructose causes insulin resistance, and it significantly raises triglycerides, which is a heart disease risk factor. It also increases fat around your gut, that visceral fat, which in turn has also been linked to a greater risk for diabetes and heart disease and metabolic syndrome. Fructose has been linked to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Anyway, it's really the best sugar to try to avoid unless you're eating it in its whole fruit form. A lot of fruit. I know they're. I mean, I've been to sites where you got people that eat a lot of bananas and they eat a lot of fruit, and I've been to those sites. I've listened to them and I've spent hours listening to them, and I'm not getting on them. I'm not saying, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. I'm saying that if you're consuming a lot of sugar, you may get thin. On the outside, you may look good, perfect, and okay, but too much sugar will wreak havoc. It will in the long run. And that's the problem. It takes a long time for it to show up. You know, sugar, you know, glucose, galactose, mannose, fucose, these N-acetyls that I mentioned before, they're necessary so your body can communicate structure, function, and location, etc. But some refined sugars, refined is the key word here, refined sugars found in foods such as candy and fruit juice and peanut butter and salt. Yeah, they have sugar and salt, dextrose, that's a sugar. Canned vegetables, bouillon cubes, medicines, toothpaste, synthetic vitamins, and almost all processed food, fat, you know, processed food, there's sugar in it. And most of the fat-free products have it. So it's dangerous to your health. I mean, the health dangers ingested by ingesting sugars create such a huge problem that you never trace it back to the consumption of the sugar. If you have skin wrinkles, you're not tracing that back to the. You're not going to buy something, or you're going to buy something to put on your skin to puff it up, you know, to smooth those lines out. But you're putting something inside of your body that you're not relating it to sugar consumption. So be careful when you're consuming sugar. And once again, when sugars are refined, or I suppose I should say refined dietary sugars, almost always turn directly into fat, almost always. And it's because these sugars are digested and absorbed by the body with such speed that the body must convert them to saturated fats and quickly. And saturated fatty acids are sticky by nature. And when they're introduced into the vascular system, they clog the arteries, they increase the chance of strokes and diabetes, and it definitely decreases athletic performance. You know, high sugar intake corrupts muscle performance, and it impedes the strength development dramatically. I mean, it causes the red blood cells to stick together and move at a slower pace, which delays the delivery of much-needed oxygen to the muscle cells, which you need when you exercise. And when you don't get adequate oxygen to the muscle, it leads to all sorts of degenerative diseases. So if that's not enough, refined dietary sugars have been observed to cross-link proteins, which leads to increased skin fold wrinkles and general aging of our largest vital organ, the skin. You know, at one time, not so long ago, the average consumption of sugar per person per year was 5 pounds. That might seem like a lot, but it's really not. 5 pounds per year. Per person. Now it's 135 pounds per person per year. Now, I don't know about you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that sugar is the main culprit that's causing a lot of our problems. I mean, that's over four times the recommended daily allowance. I mean, diabetes is up over 700% since 1959. Sugar is the most dangerous ingredient on the market today. It's addictive, and it's added to almost every processed food, and it'll make you overweight, it'll make you depressed and sick if you eat too much of it. That's a sobering thought. I mean, this is like crazy. I mean, sugar actually ruins your health. It's also a slow suicide. Yeah, I said suicide because you're putting it in your system. It is the drug that makes you go back and buy the processed product. Why do you think they're putting the sugar in there? It tricks your system. So sugar ruins your health, and it's a slow, premature death. So why do I say that? You know, sugar kills, basically. I mean, I wish I was just kidding, but it ruins your health. Sugar can suppress your immune system. Sugar upsets the mineral relationships in your body. And you're taking vitamins and minerals, you're spending all this money and all this stuff, and then you're wondering why it's not working. Is it the vitamin and mineral? No, it's probably the sugar. Sugar can cause juvenile delinquency in children. So what are you feeding your children? Sugar-laden cereal? Sugar eaten during pregnancy and lactation can influence muscle force production in the offspring, which can affect an individual's ability to exercise. Here's a drug that's going to make you, like, not want to exercise. And it started in infancy. I'm not talking about mother's breast milk, which is sugar, which is the sugar that you're supposed to have. Sugar and soda, when consumed by children, results in the children drinking less milk. Sugar can elevate glucose and insulin responses and return to fasting levels. Fasting glucose levels is going to slow that down. Certain types of people who use oral contraceptives. Sugar can increase ROS, which is reactive oxygen species, which can damage cells and connective tissue, which become organs and organ systems and becomes you. Sugar can cause hyperactivity, anxiety, inability to concentrate, and crankiness in kids. We know that. Sugar can produce a significant rise in triglycerides. It can reduce the body's ability to defend against bacterial infection. Sugar can cause a decline in tissue elasticity and function. So the more sugar you eat, the more elasticity and function you lose. So your organs and your breathing, you can't expand and contract properly. Sugar can lead to chromium deficiency. Sugar can increase fasting levels of glucose. It can cause copper deficiency. It can interfere with the body's absorption of calcium and magnesium. Cramps. Sugar may make the eyes more vulnerable to age-related macular degeneration. It could raise the level of neurotransmitters. The neurotransmitters are dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. It can cause hypoglycemia. It can lead to alcoholism. It can lead to obesity. It can lead to obesity. It can cause tooth decay. It can cause arthritis. It can cause gallstones. It can cause heart disease, appendicitis, hemorrhoids, varicose veins. It could lead to periodontal disease. It can contribute to osteoporosis. I mean, sugar contributes to saliva acidity. It can increase your cholesterol. It can change the structure of protein. I mean, there's so much that sugar can do. I don't even have time to do it. So in the last 20 seconds, sugar can cause depression. So sugar is not medicine. So remember, when you're looking at sugar, go in your cabinets right now, go in your refrigerator right now, and get this sugar out. And remember this, let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.